we've been doing as we've been looking at the Ten Commandments is before we start the sermon proper, is that we've been looking at Luther's small catechism and responding with what he has to say about the relevant commandment. So we'll do that first, and then we'll pray and get into things. What is the fourth commandment?
Respect your father and mother.
What does this mean for us?
We should honor our mother and father, so that we should not look down on our parents and others in authority or make them angry. Instead, we should respect and love them and go up and obey them.
Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds to hear the voice of your Spirit speaking today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So, we're looking at the commandment, and this is one of those commandments that not just Christians know about, a lot of people know about this one. Parents tend to know about this one, because they often say it to their kids, don't they? God wants you to obey your mother and father. As we come to this particular commandment, we actually move onto a different table or tablet, depending on how you want to describe it. One of the things we mentioned when we began was that the Ten Commandments can be divided into two sets. Now, though visually we've got some stone tablets up there, we do not know what was written on what particular tablet or so. This division is one of usefulness. We're not saying that Scripture does this division. And remember also, from our beginning, that different Christians number them differently. Some have four on the first one. We have three as Lutherans. That document I handed out covers a lot of that background. It's still out there and it's online if you want to read a bit more about that. So as we come to this particular commandment, we're moving from those that are focused on how to love God to those that are focused on how to love your neighbour. Sometimes in confirmation class, we would talk about that the first ones are vertical and these ones are horizontal. They're the practical ones. But one of the things I've pointed out with Luther's catechism, and if we just go back to the response there, we notice that he starts off every response with "we should honour and love God," which was the response for the first commandment. Not just Luther, but many throughout church history have, and no doubt rabbis, etc. as well on the Jewish side of things, have emphasised that in the Ten Commandments, it is all about the first commandment. When you break any of the commandments, you also break the first one. And if you want to keep the first one, all these others should flow. So that makes it probably a lot harder than we sometimes think. So, this particular commandment, as we heard, is about family. And in fact, one could argue that we have a few commandments that are about family. We're only going to look at them as we come up, but the not committing adultery is about family, that the not coveting your neighbour's wife and property and stuff is about family. There is a strong emphasis in Scripture about family. And if you think about it, that makes sense. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2, and we'll look at this particular chapter a bit more in a couple of weeks, but in Genesis chapter 2, Adam is given the task of naming all the animals, remember? He has that job to do that. And one of the things that God notes is that it is not good that he is alone doing this. That humanity was not designed by God to be alone. And then that leads into the creation of Eve, and that the two shall become one. And even when it talks about that, it talks about that a man shall leave his parents and start a new family. Back earlier in Genesis, when humanity was created, when we were created in the image of God, male and female as the image of God, we were told to be fruitful and multiply. This whole concept of family is something that God gave us before chapter 3. Chapter 3 is where the fall is. Family is part of God's original design for humanity. We were designed, we were built for family. Of course, with the fall, as sin has come into the world, as death rules the world, families, of course, are damaged. Our sin damages our family relationship, and thus we need rules at times. We need commandments to help get us back on track in some of these areas. Family is important to God. It should be important to us. Now, sometimes when we think family, we may have a very idyllic picture of what a family is. But in reality, we know families can be very messy, strange situations. We know families can be blended. Two families become one family. We know that through grief, through the sin of the world, through everything, families can have some strange structures. And in no way is Scripture demeaning those sort of things. You read through the Old Testament and you get very much very strange, awkward, messy families. And in fact, Genesis from Abraham to Joseph is all about messy families. So there's lots of that stuff there. As we continue to look at family, as I said, not just here, but in other weeks as well, one of the things I do want to acknowledge is that some of us may have grown up in families that were badly broken, where there was abuse and hostility. That is not right. Scripture is very strong. That is not the way it is meant to be. Sadly, in our broken world, that is often the case. And those brave couples who take on fostering of kids from difficult situation and make them a part of their family only to then lose them, in a sense, my heart goes out to those people who do that wonderful work. So whilst we can talk a lot in that area, that is not the focus here, but do be aware that I'm not ignoring it, that side of things, and I don't want you to ignore that side of things, but we're looking at the structures, how, if you like, in an ideal situation. When it comes to the commandments, one of the things, especially as we go through these ones, we're going to see that some wisdom at times is needed in how you apply this. So this commandment, as I joked at the beginning, is often one parents are good at telling their children. See, it's in the Bible. God says, you must obey me. So go clean your room. Go do your chores. Go do whatever. Otherwise, you're breaking one of God's rules. You may not say it like that. My mum may have said it like that, but you get the point of time. Sometimes one of our problems is we can use these things as weapons. That is not what they're meant for. But just as when it comes to marriage, it is often the passage, women submit to your husbands, is emphasized without looking at the whole context where it tells husbands to, what does it tell husbands to do? Love your wives. There's a whole pile of stuff husbands are supposed to do as well. So when it comes to families, the Bible is full of stuff, not just that children should obey their parents. Look at this from Ephesians. Fathers. Okay, guys, this is addressed to us. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And if you go through Proverbs, there's a number of advices to a number of the Proverbs are directed at parents. Don't create a mess with your children and then expect them to be obedient children. It's a relationship. It goes both ways, doesn't it? And I think we realise this. But one of the things that I noticed, and I thought was quite good, that one commentator pointed out, these commandments were given to Israel. These commandments were given to adults. This isn't a commandment where Moses suddenly stops and say, can I have all the kids come forward? I'm going to give you this commandment. This is for us. Just because you're grown up does not mean this commandment suddenly has no value to you. So how do we as adults honour our parents? Is that something you've thought about? For some of us, it could be a situation where I am this. This is an area where I know I have failed badly. Over the years, there has been much confession on my behalf to my Lord. My parents died almost 30 years ago. And thankfully, I did have an opportunity to apologise for some of the things I did. Not things I did as a child, but things I did as a teenager and a young adult. And even today, in preparing this, thoughts come to mind of things that I know that I shouldn't have done. Now, my Heavenly Father, through His Lord Jesus Christ, through my Lord Jesus Christ, forgives my sin. I can come and I confess them. That doesn't remove the regret I have that I did them. Because I need to learn from my mistakes. Two. But sometimes when it comes to how do we respect our parents, we may be thinking of this sort of picture. When they get old, we'll make sure, you know, old and can't look after themselves anymore. We'll make sure that they're taken care of. So we respect our parents till we're 13, and then again later on once they're old. Is that right? We should do both of those things, of course. But there is a lot involved with how we respect our parents. Now, it's not that our parents have absolute rule over us. Because remember, I mentioned Genesis chapter 2. When a man marries, he leaves his father's family and starts his own family. But that doesn't mean his parents no longer matter. There's still this honour, this respect, even though you're going on to new lives. Now, this isn't always easy. As some of you no doubt have, and I had both parents pass while I was 4,000 kilometres away from them. Some of you have that distance. How do you care for parents at a distance? Well, one way that I found is I rang them every Sunday after church. That was one of my jobs. You know, I got into rituals to try and keep that connection. It doesn't help that, especially when after my mum passed and dad was in hospital, feeling useless at that other end of the phone. But it was still trying to show respect and care. And I know from experience that it's wonderful when it goes the other way. Some of you here have adult children like we do. Adult children is a whole new dynamic, isn't it? When they're this size, you tell them something. Sometimes, if not most times, they actually do it. And if they don't, you can send them to their room, you can take away internet privileges, TV privileges, whatever. 27-year-olds don't seem to respond to those things very well. Your relationship with your adult children is a whole different thing, isn't it? But they're still family. When I went through my medical issue last February, and I was out of it, to see that both my sons stepped up, cared for me, cared for Karen, that they went into action, basically with no one needing to ask them to. Isn't that showing respect to me? It's often in our actions, what we are prepared to do. It is also in our words. And this is an area I have to watch myself. Do our words show respect for our parents? It is our hope, of course, that our children have respectful words for us. But do we have respectful words for our parents? Now, that's not denying that our parents are very human. And one of the things of growing up is we get to see how human they are. You often don't see that as a child, do you? They're superhuman almost as a child. But as an adult, and this is where I have often found where my regrets, where I come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness is, as I get older and as I go through things, I see what my parents did with me in a different light. I start to understand their humility, their frailty, their mistakes. And yet they soldiered on, that they stuck with me. They cared, you know, and then I look at how I responded in that situation. One of the things we have said about the commandments for us as Christians is that they are designed to be a mirror, to show us areas where the Holy Spirit needs to work, where we need to come to the foot of the cross, to return to our Lord Jesus and to repent our sins, to hand them over. Work in some of these areas is not trivial. If there's division, if there's abuse, if there's problems in families, that is not a trivial thing to deal with. I'm not trying to make that out to be. But is it your desire for those things to be better if they are good? And if they are good, are you praising the Lord that they are good? Now, you may have noticed that when Luther explained the meaning or the purpose of this commandment, he didn't just talk about parents, did he? He actually said this commandment is about showing respect to those in authority. This may be a bit of a tougher one for us today, and it probably overflows a bit into how we treat our parents as well. We live in a culture, especially in Western society. If you have friends from other cultures, you will see that this can be a completely different thing. But in Western culture, it is very me-focused. It is about my rights, my dreams, my goals, my success. And at times that means that if things get in the way, I may have to step over them or steamroll through them or whatever analogy you want. That is what the world says. We as Aussies, and this is part of, an acknowledged part of Australian culture, have almost an innate distrust of authority. We think the bush rangers are the good guys and the cops are the bad guys. There's almost part of that built into our very nature of a distrust of politicians, a distrust of police. Yet, that's not how I was brought up. My parents were very strong on respecting those in authority. And at times we can be in a bit of almost a turmoil over this. When you get together with your friends, doesn't it become easy to joke about what a lousy job our politicians are doing at whatever level that they're in? Do we respect our Shire President? Do we respect our Premier? Do we respect our Prime Minister, our King? These are part of the challenge. I'm not saying any of this is easy. The early church emphasised very heavily a respect for the Roman Emperor and the Roman government structures. A respect for them. However, another thing that our modern society has made weird is in society the word respect has been redefined often to mean that if you respect someone, you totally agree with them and you accept everything they do, which is not respect, is it? No, I see a lot of you comment. But if you listen to the media, often if you disagree or disapprove of something, then you're that person's enemy. You hate that person. And often hate language starts to come in because you have a difference of opinion. That is not what we're talking about here. A respect does not mean total agreeance. For example, we see in the early chapters of Acts where the apostles are brought forward to the Sanhedrin. And in those confrontations, the disciples' language is very respectful. The Sanhedrin are in authority. However, they respectfully refuse to follow what the Sanhedrin is saying because the Sanhedrin is saying, stop talking about Jesus. And they say, sorry, can't do that. But I'll still give you all the respect that I can, but I'm not stopping that. That's the line, following God rather than man. And we actually see that in the early church. In those first couple of centuries, Caesar was Lord. You were required often to actually go through a test where you had to take a pinch of incense and basically proclaim Caesar to be the Lord of your life. And if you didn't, you could either be banished and at times executed. And Christians in the early church would not take that step. Because who is Lord? Jesus. But they would pray for the emperor. They would pray even for his success in battle. We have copies of these sort of prayers. They would pray very positively for the emperor, for the Roman authorities. They would pay their taxes. They were actually very good at paying their taxes, and in fact, the early church helped others in the church to make sure that they could pay their taxes. But they disagreed on who was Lord. This is the sort of respect that is being talked about here in authority. It is not blind obedience. It is never blind obedience. Even with our parents, it is not blind obedience. It is in the light of Jesus. It is through everything that we learn through Scripture. It is not okay for there to be violence in our homes. We need to do something about that. It is not okay for governments to persecute the weak. You may say, it's not okay that whatever level of government has made a particular decision that you're upset about. And we've all been in that situation. There's nothing wrong with peaceful protesting. That's still respectful. But once we start to get into violence over these things, that's where we perhaps cross that line, where we're no longer following this commandment. Now, I know there's a lot we can talk about in this area and I'm aware of the time, but I just want us to be thinking about these sort of things, just touching on those. This is what seems like an easy commandment, is actually very involved. I'll leave you with this. One of the things that we do, or I do in confirmation class when we look at this particular commandment, is I ask the kids, who has authority over you? They may grumble a bit, or somebody will be a bit bold and say, no one. But, you know, go through and let you know, so you get teachers and etc. that they list. And then ask them to look at how they not just treat those people, but how do they talk about those people. I invite you to do that after church. Go think that. But I wanted you also to think about who you have authority over. And how are you exercising that authority? Are you like our Lord Jesus Christ, who was with God, who was God, who became one of us, who dwelt among us, who John tells us through everything, all creation was done through him? No one had or has more authority than our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he washed feet. He served. How are you handling the authority that you have? Do you make it easy for those you have authority over to respect you? See the two way in these things? May through the Holy Spirit, may we have that wisdom, that self-examination that is needed. And rest assured that as we see these areas that need fixing, that we can keep coming back to the cross each and every day, handing over our sins and receiving forgiveness through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.